Braden Sprennett here as we cover and preview all the leagues here in San Diego County for high school football. We started off with some of the lower level teams, or not really lower level, but some of the small schools in the Coastal and the Pacific leagues. And we're going through. We got our analysts in here. John Maffey joining us today to preview some of the other North County leagues. Maffey, how you doing today?
Very good, thanks.
So we got John Maffey in here. We're going to be talking about the Palomar and the Valley leagues on this particular podcast. So let's start with the Palomar League. They got Del Norte, Mount Carmel, Poway, RB, Vista, and Westview. And when you first look at this league, the names that jump out to me have to be Rancho Bernardo and Poway the most, just because last year they were the top of the league. Last year, I know Vista's got Desmond Tua. That's going to be a great piece for them as well. And Mount Carmel's supposed to be better. Del Norte had a really good season last year. One of their best seasons ever in their program history. Just real quick, grand scheme of things, what do you see out of the Palomar League?
I think it's going to be very competitive. The team that I really like in that league is Vista. I think because they have all three of their running backs back, they've got probably 2,500 yards or more in the three backs, in Tua, Kelly, and Flores. And, Flores, the big pounding fullback who kind of opens it up for Kelly and Tua. The problem there is their quarterback graduated. He was kind of the maestro of that offense. But I really like what they bring back. But Poway's very well coached. They're strong. They have Josh Butler back, the big running back. I think they're going to be very good. And Rancho Bernardo has kind of gone through some growing pains at quarterback, kind of shuffling things around. When you have two, sometimes you don't have any, and they're trying to make a decision there. So I think it's those three teams. Del Norte is going to drop off a bit. Mount Carmel, I agree, is on its way up. They have the quarterback is back. And their Ty Virgin, their very versatile, very good running back, is back. Westview is in for a long season.
Yes, they are. They had a pretty rough season last year. Lost a couple guys to transfers as well. Let's break it down team by team as we go through kind of their schedule. We'll give a couple of our predictions, who we think are going to be some games to watch out for, and who we think ultimately is going to be the league champion. So we'll start in alphabetical order. Starting with Del Norte, they returned 8 of their 22 guys on offense and defense last year. They went 6-5. Their JV went 6-4. Had key wins last year over La Jolla, Sarah, and Westview. They also lost to Sarah, Scripps Ranch, and Vista. A couple notable losses for Del Norte. I agree with you. I think they're going to come back down a little bit this year. I got them going 2-8. Their non-league schedule is not too bad. It's very comparable to their level of talent in terms of it's going to be games that they're going to be able to win. I'm not necessarily thinking they're going to win a lot of those, but they open up with Fallbrook. We'll talk about them, of course, in our Valley League podcast. But Fallbrook's a team that's had three coaches over the last, 6 months. So it's going to be tough for them to win a lot of games. I could see Del Norte winning that game. Scripps Ranch is going to be better. That's a tough game for Del Norte. Sarah's pretty good from last year. At La Jolla is going to be tough. And then they get into league play, which I only see them winning one game in league play, potentially over Westview. As of right now, I got Del Norte going 2-8. How do you see them faring this season?
I think that's pretty accurate. I think 2-8, if everything goes right, maybe 4-6. But I things have to go right. Lee Cole does a really nice job there. I think he's a very veteran coach. And exactly what you said, I think he schedules smart early in the non-league, and that teams that he's even with.
Not like he's scheduling way out of his league,
right,
and just trying to boost his rating for the playoffs, but he's also not playing a bunch of teams that he knows he can beat. It's right around the same caliber team, and you definitely see that with Del Norte's non-league schedule.
Right, and I think that's smart. You don't want to play, Julian. You want to play somebody you're competitive with and you have a chance to win, and I think that's what he's done.
So I think we agree Del Norte kind of going to be near the bottom of the pack this year in the Palomar League. I got them going 2-8, but it doesn't mean they're going to go 2-8. I just think they're going to go 2-8, but based on their schedule, based on what they got coming back, all that sort of thing. We're moving on to Mount Carmel. This is the other team I don't think is going to do as very well in this league, but I do think they're going to be a lot better because they do have some studs. Reds coming back. Their JV team last year, I didn't get the official record, but I'm pretty sure they either went 10-0 or 9-1.
Right.
They were had a really good junior varsity team last year. So we might be able to see Mount Carmel start to come back to where, you know, maybe they wanted to be before, and it might just be 2 years away for Mount Carmel. This year, I mean, it's tough just because of their schedule. Talking about teams that kind of schedule out of their league, Mount Carmel, they open up with Valley Center, who's going to be tough. They go to at Granite Hills, who we saw them play last year, and they got a lot of guys coming back. They got some big dudes as well. They're going to be good. Then they go play their one of the rivalry games, if you will, against Mira Mesa, and we know Chris Thompson's turning Mira Mesa around. Then they got Ramona and Vista, Vista obviously in league, and then they got San Marcos. So they're playing an Avocado League school. They're playing a school from the Grossmont Hills League, which is a tough league. They're playing Mira Mesa, who's in the second level city league, but they're good enough to be in the Western League. And then you got Valley Center, who's going to be tough. I mean, it's a tough schedule for Mount Carmel.
It is, and I had a really nice sit down with John Anderson, the coach there. We talked for probably 2 hours, and he looked at his schedule, he scratched his head, he goes, "Who the heck scheduled this?" And you know, obviously it's him, but they're going to be better. They're Ty Virgin's back, and I think he's one of the really good versatile backs in the county, and Carson. And it's hard to pronounce his last name, Tamapoa, I think it is. It was a sophomore last year, really struggled early, and kind of got it. The light kind of came on around midseason or so. And John says Carson, and I've seen Carson play basketball. He's 6'3"-ish.
He's definitely. I saw him at the Top Dog video shoot they did the other day at Mira Mesa High School. He's got some size. He's definitely. It's not like he showed up as a junior and he's smaller than everybody else playing at Mount Carmel. That guy is going to be a very key factor for Mount Carmel having a good year. And with the JV team that they got coming up, they might surprise us. I have them going 2-8, but I can honestly. I think their ceiling could be 6-4.
I think 6-4. 5-5, 6-4. I think would be a really good season for him. And the pressure is on there a little bit. I think John's feeling. The new athletic director there is kind of putting the coach's feet to the fire to win games, and so John feels the pressure a little bit to win. And I think they're going to have, if not a breakout season, a nice season.
That's Mount Carmel coming down in alphabetical order as we go. So I got Del Norte going 2-8. I got Mount Carmel going 2-8. Scheduling, all that sort of thing. But again, these teams are definitely good enough to change that and maybe go 4-6. And then of course Mount Carmel could potentially go 6-4. Poway, the next team on the list, kind of alphabetically as we go through here. To me, they are the league favorite. I have them winning the league this year. They got 14 guys coming back from last year. Last year they had a pretty good team. Definitely exceeded my expectations last year. I didn't think they were going to have a very good season, and they ripped off and went 8-3 last year. Their JV team went 7-3. They had big wins over Rancho Bernardo, Grossmont, and Vista. Of course, that Grossmont was early in the year before Grossmont kind of fell off a little bit. But this team's going to be pretty good. They open up with Granite Hills. That game's going to be out right here on 97.3 The Fan. I'll be calling that game with Coach John Quintero. It's going to be a fun one out there. Olympian is a team that they could definitely beat. Then they got Ramona in a cross league, Escondido in a cross league, and then the last other game that they have on their non-league schedule is Tesoro. That's probably one of their only losses, I think, this year, but I think Poway is going to have a really good season, especially with Butler coming back at running back.
I agree. I think they're primed for a good year. They're big up front, and they have a very talented back, and he plays both ways. He can break a tackle at the line of scrimmage, and he can get into the secondary and outrun you. And that's Josh Butler. And I believe he was like a 1,200-yard back last year, and I could see him getting into the 1,700, 1,800-yard ranges here.
Especially if they got some big guys up front. Poway is a school that used to have a lot of big guys, and then all of a sudden it started to change where they didn't get as many big kids anymore. They were either like moving out to Ramona or what have you. They weren't just getting the same size kids, but they get some size back. They could be the big old country boys they used to be out there in Poway.
I think so, and I agree, because it is kind of horse country out there, and you have larger homes with some acreage, so you're getting some kids that are tough. and you know, big old tough kids. And it kind of backed off a little bit, but it's coming back. And I think Scott Coates, the new coach there, has you know, and Damian Gonzalez did a great job there, and would still be coaching other, I think, but family wise and being the athletic director just took up too much time. And you know, Scott kind of went through the growing pains his first year, and now he's got it together. And I think he has a direction. He knows what he wants to do.
I'm excited to get out to Poway week one as they take on Granite Hills, hosting Granite Hills. Same game from last year. They lost to Granite Hills last year. We'll see what happens. Of course, you can listen to that game on the radio.com app and on 97.3. The Fan, as we broadcast 14 games this year of the high school football season. Moving on, halfway through the league now, Rancho Bernardo, they only got... listed according to Cal Preps, based on what Tristan McCoy sent into them, they only got three returning starters. That's always hard to replace guys, especially when we only got three coming back last year, 7-4. Their JV team did really well, though. They went 9-1. I saw them in passing league this year. They definitely have a lot of athletes. But again, the quarterback problem is going to be an issue because you have two guys that are still kind of getting equal reps. They had equal reps last year. We did their game against Mission Hills, and it was every other drive they're switching quarterbacks, right, and nobody can get really into a rhythm. So that's a serious problem that Rancho Bernardo is going to have to face going into next season, is who's going to win the starting job. And they can't. I'm not going to tell a coach what he can and cannot do, but it's tough to play a different quarterback every drive.
And I think Tristan knows that. And I think that exactly what he wants to do is pick someone, and from what my intel tells me, he has picked someone, and it's not Noah Morris. Noah is really, really talented, but from what I understand, just doesn't grasp the concept. Not that he doesn't grasp the offense, doesn't grasp the concept of what they're trying to do, because it he might be a little bit more talented than what they're asking him to do, if that makes sense. And so I think you know, he will not be the quarterback. They will settle on one, and an injury may change that. But I think they're going to be okay. But I can see them. I can't see a 7-4, you know, 8-3 kind of season.
I got them going about 6-4 right now. They open up with Madison. Madison traditionally is usually pretty good, but right now they're kind of going through a spell where they're just not getting the same kids they used to get. It's kind of been almost a max exodus over there at Madison. A lot of kids are staying home, not really venturing out in the city leagues, which, you know, I mean, if you live in the city of San Diego, you can go to any city school.
Right.
So they had kids going all over the place. Now it doesn't look – they got a couple guys coming back, but not really. You could see Madison potentially going a dip down. Then the Rancho Bernardo's got Sam Pasquale, who's always going to be tough. The wing T type offense they run, they usually have a big front. That's going to be a tough game for them. Valley Center is going to be tough. Point Loma is an interesting matchup, I think, for Rancho Bernardo, as well as they continue to play a couple Western League teams. And then they get into league play. They do have El Camino on the schedule as well, an Avocado League team. But I got Rancho Bernardo going 6-4. It's surprising to me that not really surprising to me that they already made their quarterback decision, because it's smart to do that. And I know you're saying, and I know I've met Tristan McCoy before, and I know he's a good coach, and he's not a guy that wants to play two quarterbacks the entire season. But I watched both those kids play last year in a playoff game, and it looked like a preseason game, because one kid would drive down and score, and then instead of having him stay in the next drive, they put the other kid in, and then he would drive down and score. And then Noah Morris would come in and throw a pick, and then they'd put the other kid in, and he'd throw a pick. And it was just back and forth. They were matching wits the entire time. Like, almost they were competing against each other.
Yes.
While still playing on the same team, trying to beat Mission Hills, and it turned into a disaster in the second half. But Rancho Bernardo, if they could fix that quarterback problem and try to get some good pieces with the way their JV team played last year, who knows? They might do better than 6-4. I got them at 6-4. Do you agree with that? Or do you go 5-5?
I look at them as a 5-5 team, and could be 6-4, because I agree with you. I think Tristan is an outstanding coach, and you know, very well prepared, good staff. And I've been to a number of his practices, and you know, they practice very well. They practice hard. It's crisp. So I could see 6-4, but I'm looking more at 5-5.
Let's move on to Vista. We got two teams left here as we break down the Palomar League, our Palomar League preview on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to tune into our high school football show each and every Thursday night from 9 to 11. John Maffey, who's with us right now, joins us on the first show on August 15th, and then we'll keep it going throughout the rest of the season following Thursday night football. And of course, Friday nights, we're going to have football on the air on 97.3 and on the radio.com app, a high school game each and every week for the 14 games this season, all the way through the playoffs. Moving on to Vista, this is your team, if I heard you earlier correctly, this is the team that you think is going to win the Palomar League.
I'm going out on a limb, and I know
you got Desmond Tui. Yeah. It's not that much of a limb going out there.
Yeah, Poway's kind of the sexy favorite, and understandably so. They have a good team, but my dark horse and is going to be Vista. I think they have a chance to win the league. I think they have a chance. They finally get it. What they're trying to do with, you know, Dave Bottom came in there and they have a lot of really talented kids, and he came in and wanted to run the wing T, and there was almost an open revolt. But the kids now get it. They understand the offense, and when you have 2,500 yards coming back, and the key will be the quarterback. If he can do what they did last year, get the ball to the right person, you know, get the ball to the wing back on the counter, and it's wide open and he's flying down the field, they got a chance.
You have a wing T offense, so what about maybe moving one of the backs to play quarterback? Could you see Desmond Tua potentially taking some snaps under center?
I don't, you know, and maybe just because he never has and didn't in the summer, but he's a really talented player. He's an 800, 900 yard back who has a chance to double that this year and plays really good defense. Flores, the big pounding fullback, is the key because you have to honor him and that opens everything else up. And Kelly is the other wing and he's got great speed. So I would think that I would want the ball, have my quarterback hand off, and because they don't throw that much. When they do, they're very effective because guys are, they're cheating.
They're selling out for the
right. They're cheating eight, nine in the box.
They're selling out for trap. They're selling out for down. All that sort of good stuff. But
right.
I was talking with Desmond to his father. He's the D-line coach at Vista, and we were breaking down. He was like, "Yeah, we run the wing T too." And I'm sitting there like, "All right, let's think about the teams that run the wing T." Torrey Pines runs the wing T. They're in the Open Championship last year. Cathedral Catholic runs the wing T. They're in the Open Championship last year. Eastlake runs a hybrid of the wing T. They went deep in the playoffs last year. That is an offense. It's not sexy to watch. It's not flashy. It's not going to run up and down the field. But, man, is it difficult to stop. And if you run it properly, it's going to be a problem for defenses to stop.
Yeah, and I think the great word what you said is run it properly.
Yes.
And if it's run right, and it's run crisp, and the quarterback is the key. If you have a magician with the ball, and he can, he can take the snap, he can, he can hide it, he can disguise where the ball's going, and he's got backs running free, he's got receivers running free, and then and big plays are fun to watch. Doesn't matter if it's running backs or bombs. It big plays are big plays.
7-5 last year, Vista went. Their JV team went 8-2. I got them going 7-3 this year. They open up with St. Margaret's on a Saturday. They play on the 24th of August instead of the 23rd like everybody else. That's an interesting matchup solely because St. Margaret's has come down here and hammered Bishops and La Jolla Country Day and some of the small schools. It's a pretty good small school. That's going to be a tough matchup for Vista because the thing that's really difficult for all of us down here in San Diego, and it's tough to have perspective of, there are better teams outside of San Diego than what we see each and every day. And it's tough. It's like you see a team like Saguaro playing Cathedral, like, oh, that's just some team from Arizona. You see Harriman playing Helix, if they're from Utah, it's some Utah team. In reality, it's like you kind of have to understand the difference between, RBV playing Irvine and then Vista playing St. Margaret's. So yep. St. Margaret's is a good football team, and it's going to be a tough game for them.
Yes, and St. Margaret's also plays Santa Fe Christian this year, and I talked to John Wallace, Santa Fe Christian, about St. Margaret's, and he goes, they are very good.
Yes.
And they had a rivalry. Santa Fe Christian had a rivalry with Bishop Diego out of Santa Barbara, but it got to be a little too far to drive, And so he said, now St. Margaret's, being right in San Juan Capistrano, wanted to get out of the Orange County, play the same people over and over again. And so they came down to play in Santa Fe and Vista this year to get a different look. And it could be maybe with Santa Fe running the wing tee, they might have wing teams in their league that they want to see. But I think Vista is going to be a little bit too good for St. Margaret's, but it's going to be a very good game.
That's going to be a good game. Real quick, they play at LCC. It's going to be tough playing Avocado League team, RBV rivalry game. They got Morse again, kind of the traditional matchup. Then they get into league play, and then they finish the season with Carlsbad. So I see them going 7-3. I don't think they beat the Avocado League schools, even though they have the talent to do it, and then I don't think they beat Poway. That's where you differ from me in terms of who wins the league. I don't want to get too far into scheduling, because I know you got an article coming up on scheduling, and we can have our own podcast on scheduling. I find it fascinating. We might have to do that. We might have to release a scheduling of podcast with John Maffey and myself. But we're on to our last team now. We've moved on to Westview. I don't see them winning a game in league. It's going to be tough for them. They're going to have a tough season, I think. I officially have them going 1-9. Coming into the season, according to their rating, they are better than Rancho Buena Vista. So that's like the one win I gave them. Plus, yeah. RBV's got to replace Dorian Richardson, which is going to be a very big challenge for RBV. But they're not alone, because there was about 10 running backs last year that were all studs that need to be replaced,
right,
in San Diego County. So we'll see if RBV does it. But I think, you know, Westview's got 10 guys coming back reportedly. They went 1-10 last year. Their JV team was a little bit better. I still only have them going 1-9. I mean, they play Oceanside, who's a lot better. Even if it was just going on the traditional Oceanside, it's Oceanside. I mean, it's tough for Westview to go and play and beat Oceanside. Sampa Squall is going to have size. Then they got Granite Hills, who's going to be tough. And then they got San Marcos. I mean, they did not do themselves any favors with scheduling. I know a lot of them are probably two-year contracts, maybe more, but I don't see them winning more than one game this season.
Well, they went 1-9 last year with a quarterback who threw for 2,000 yards and a receiver who caught 80 balls, and they both transferred out.
Yes.
So, and in talking to Kyle Williams, the coach at Westview, they are going to run a double wing, double tight. They're going with the old sniffer offense.
Yeah.
And he goes, the only chance we have to win this year, and maybe not the only chance, but he says the best chance we have to win this year is to line it up, run the clock, try to keep the ball away from the other team and go down, score, maybe eat up, 7.5-8 minutes in a quarter on a drive. And he said, if we can do that, we've got a chance. But I think if they turn it off, they're three and out, they're going to be in trouble.
That goes back to the whole running the offense properly conversation, because if Westview can successfully get 4 yards a pop,
yes,
and then all of a sudden it's the end of the first quarter, they're up 7-0, and the other team hasn't even possessed the ball yet, they can win a lot of games. You saw Cathedral today against Folsom.
Yes.
Folsom is a team that runs the ball up and down the field. You got to try to play at their place. Helix tried doing that, and they ran out of gas. And Cathedral's like, we're just going to hold on to the ball as long as possible and wear these guys down. And they got incredibly frustrated. And a team like Granite Hills that likes throwing the ball, a team like Oceanside, who I know likes throwing the ball, San Pasqual, That game against San Pasqual might be done in about 20 minutes.
Run the football. Take the air out of the ball.
Yeah, but a lot of these teams that like throwing it all over the place, they're going to be sitting there on the sideline and just incredibly frustrated that they're not on the field. And if Westview can keep doing that and getting multiple yards, they might frustrate teams into losses.
Well, not trying to make fun of it, but the coin toss might be big for Westview. If you get the ball first and you can go down and score, then you've got a chance. If you don't score and they come down and score on you, they force a turnover. Now you're down 14. That offense doesn't work.
If I win the coin toss and I want the ball every single time.
Yes.
I would try to run the
clock. I think they would. I think they would take the ball.
So that is the last team we talked about in the Palomar League. Again, I got it. I got Poway winning it. I'm going with the flashy pick, John. I know you like Vista. I got Vista coming in second at 4-1. I got Rancho Bernardo coming in third at 3-2. Then I got Mount Carmel at 2-3. Del Norte at 1-4, and Westview at 0-5. That's kind of like my six for the Palomar League. But I think it's going to be a fun league. I think it's going to be a competitive league. And all the teams that we said were not going to do very well, of course, they can just come out and play great football and have better records. what we say is not set in stone. We're just kind of evaluating based on what talent they got, who's coming back, what type of schedules they have, and what have you. Because as much as we'd love to give everybody an 8-2 season, it's just mathematically impossible.
Yes, and I agree with you. I think other than the top, I think it'll flip flop at the top, and wouldn't be surprised if Poway wins it. But I think it'll flip-flop at the top, and the rest of them will fall into place.
That is the Palomar League. John Maffey, thanks for joining us today. We'll also have him back for the Valley League podcast as well. If you want to hear any of our league podcasts, we're releasing them starting August 14th all the way to the day before opening night on the 23rd of August. Two leagues a day. If you want to check them out, be sure to check us out on radio.com. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. We've got the podcast on there as well and on the 97 Through the Fans website. And give us feedback. Let us know what's going on. Let us know who you think is going to win leagues and what have you. And we look forward to talking to you on Thursday night, August 15th, for our first high school show. And, of course, our first broadcast of the game will be August 23rd against one of these teams, Poway, hosting Granite Hills on 97.3 The Fan. For John Maffey, I'm Braden Suprenant. Thanks for tuning in to the Palomar League Preview.